Who would have ever thought that that Sunday morning, I just left the funeral home. He's lying there. His body is lying there. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And you say, well, he came in at 5 o'clock and got paid for a full day's wage. Well, we've been here all day long. That's just like our God, isn't it? He's in the presence of the living God. Hallelujah. So don't you disqualify yourself that God's not going to touch your body or heal you or change you or save your spouse or your child. This is a miracle generation. And you and I have got to grab hold of that and not let go of it and say, our God is a great God. No one greater than him. The psalmist said it this way in Psalm 77 and 14. You are the God who does wonders. You've declared your strength among the peoples. God is the one that does wonders, and he wants to do them again this evening. You know, we serve the same God tonight that Moses and Joshua served. The Red Sea parting, the water coming forth out of the rock. Joshua putting his instructing his captains to put their feet on the necks of the kings of the enemies, conquering 32 nations, watching the walls of Jericho collapse under the shout of praise of God's people. That's the same anointing. It's the same Spirit of God. Think about it with me. It's the same anointing that Elijah on Mount Carmel, you guys were just there overlooking the valley of Jezreel, when he said, if your God be God, let fire come down from heaven and consume this sacrifice. No fire. And Elijah began to mock them, ridiculing them, exposing them for what they were. They were frauds. They were religious. He called upon the name of his God and fire fell from heaven and consumed the sacrifice and licked up the water that was in the trough. It's the same power of God. It's the same anointing. It's the same Holy Spirit that brought the fire from heaven to Mount Carmel that's in this room tonight. It's the same Holy Spirit that parted the Red Sea and an entire nation walked through on dry land. It's the same Spirit tonight of Elisha, the protege of Elijah, who had heard that a man had lost his axe head. And he said, where did it go in at? Well, somewhere over here. I'm not real sure, but I think it's over here. And you would have thought in the natural, Elisha would have had to pull up his sleeve and start looking for it in Jesus' name. But he didn't do that. He stood there and he commanded it. He said, axe head, float in Jesus' name. And the axe head, which overpowered natural law of gravity, and the weight of it became like a feather, and its buoyancy popped to the top of the river. And the man said, there goes your axe head. Get it restored and go your way. It's the same God that caused it to float in the river. God will cause to happen to you tonight. Don't you get discouraged and allow the devil to beat you up and tell you that it's over. We serve a big God. We serve a God that is on time, always on mark. Think about it this way. It's the same Holy Spirit that Jesus operated in that's here tonight. The same Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10 and 38, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, whom God hath anointed with the same Holy Spirit. Come on, it's the same Holy Spirit. He said he went about doing good and working all kinds of miracles, signs, and wonders. It's the same Holy Spirit. And what about the apostles? Peter, his very shadow healing the sick. Paul, sustained through difficulty and trial and stood tall in the face of adversity. It's the same Holy Spirit. That's why we've got to welcome the presence of the glory of God into our meetings, into our life. Every morning when you rise up, it ought to be, oh, good morning, Holy Spirit. We're relying upon you because without you, we can do nothing. That's a good place to give him some worship. Come on, lift your hands up and worship him. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you. We worship you. We bless you tonight, God, thanking you for what you're doing and what you're going to do in this room tonight, God. And in the subsequent days of our lives, we are thrusting ourselves at your feet. God, like Ruth to Boaz, we're just saying, cover me tonight, Lord. I believe this, ladies and gentlemen, that the days leading up to the return of Jesus Christ, God is going to begin intervening in an increasing manner in situations of impossibility in the lives of average, normal people like you and me in order to display his power and his glory on the earth. It's going to be for a sign. The closer you get to the destination, you look for a sign. You got to say, do you see 71 South yet? Or do you see 480 East yet? Because when I see the sign, I know I'm getting close to my destination. And God said, when we get close, how many know he's about to come back any moment? When we get close, you're going to see some signs. And God's going to manifest himself. And why not manifest yourself here? Why not manifest yourself with us? Why not manifest yourself here in this place, oh God? Because you are not a respecter of persons. It's an amazing truth when you begin to consider about miracles. God, why are miracles even in the Bible? Miracles were always and most of the times associated, church, with people who were distressed. People who not only were distressed, but they were desperate. I believe as we as a nation become more desperate, and we're getting there. We're inching closer every day. We're desperate. We're hopeless. We're people wondering what the future will hold. There's an increasing number of people who don't want to vote Democrat, who don't want to vote Republican, who don't want to vote at all because they don't believe anything will ever change. We've lost hope. This is a time to believe that God can step right into this generation and begin to declare signs and wonders with miraculous power from his being and change the course of history of this nation. God's got to intervene, and that's my cry. God, intervene tonight. I'm desperate. Intervene, God. Yeah, I need you to show up in my life, God. I need you to show up in my church. I need you to show up in my family. I need you to show up in my marriage. I need you to show up in my money, God, because I can't do it by myself. Don't you dare pray that prayer, because I'm telling you, if you do, you're setting yourself up for a miraculous intervention of God. If you don't want to see God, shh. If you don't want to see miracles, hush. If you don't want to see Spirit of God come in and take control, keep your mouth shut. But oh, if you're desperate, if you've had enough, if you're hungry, if you need God in your life, then open up your mouth, open up your heart, lift up your hands, lift up your eyes, and begin to cry out to God and say, God, I need you to intervene in my life. Intervene, God. And when we do, suddenly he just appears. God is making a special appearance. I begin to ask myself the question, why miracles? Three reasons. Number one, to display his power to Pharaoh. There's a God of this world that still doesn't believe. There's a God of this world that still doesn't know the God that has brought us out. That doesn't acknowledge the God who created heaven and earth. There are those that are atheists proclaiming, and they're agnostics, and there are those that worship thousands of gods. There are those whose Allah had become their God. But God said, wait a minute, there's a whole confusion upon the earth. God's going to do miracles to do what? To clear something up. Let me clear something up. There's only one God, and Jehovah is his name, and there's nobody like God, nobody like Jesus. Come on, shout hallelujah. That's why he'll do miracles, Because no other God can perform them. No other God can match them. No other God can turn the water into blood. No other God can bring the locust to block out the sun. No other God can bring frogs in the bed of a king. He does it to declare to a Pharaoh, the God of this world, that I'm creator of heaven and earth and you're not. I'm the redeemer and you're not. I'm the King of kings and you're not. Somebody lift a hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank God for miracles. I need one in my life. Intervene, God. Do something in me. Do something in me, number two, to help his people. God heard the cries of distress of Israel. He heard their distress. He heard their pain, their sorrow, their agony. The cries of Israel came up before the king's court. He said, who is that crying out? Who is that under stress and strain? Who is that crying themselves to sleep night after night? Don't you think that God doesn't hear your tears? Your tears may not have a voice on this side of heaven, but when your tears reach the other side, they're a loud cry of, oh God, will you help me? And he'll answer every cry, every tear. And third, why miracles? To expand his kingdom. To expand his kingdom. Like the book of Acts, they saw the signs and the wonders. I saw the fevered mother-in-law of Peter rise up and feed the crowd with total health and release. They saw those with handkerchiefs released from Paul's body, just touching it, and suddenly virtue, like the day of the woman of the issue of blood who received from Christ, now went away whole. They witnessed the power of God upon a people who were sold out completely to a kingdom that was not of this world. And they had deep respect. And everywhere they went, they began to expand. 3,000 saved one day. 5,000 saved another day. Thousands upon thousands surrendering their life to Jesus Christ. Amen. Miracles are to expand his kingdom. Miracles are to hear the cry of his people. Miracles or to get in the devil's face and say, you're not God. That's why we believe miracles. That's why we pray for miracles. That's why we call on God. That's why we stir up ourselves in faith for miracles. Not to prove our badge of spirituality. Not to somehow forecast that we have a greater anointing than someone else. No, not by us. No, 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 no. Let us decrease and let him increase. Let his kingdom come and let our kingdom not even be found upon the name on the place of the earth. Let Jesus be all in all. Amen. Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Do you hear me? This was uttered 2,000 years ago, but it needs to be uttered again. It needs to be heard again. It needs to be believed again. It needs to be spoken again. We need to exhort each other once again. What is it? It's simply this. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe in the gospel. There's our issue. We don't believe in the gospel anymore. We don't believe in the power of the gospel anymore. It's time to change our thinking. That's what repent means. Change your thinking and believe in the gospel. That God is able. Amen. How many know he's able? Come on, say it with me. God is able. Say it again. God is able. When he walked into the wedding of Canaan. It was just a small miracle, insignificant miracle. Who needed that? Come on, Jesus, you do something greater than that. But there was a wise mother in the place, you know. She came to Jesus and said, Jesus, did you hear that they ran out of wine? And Jesus said, woman, what are you bothering me with that for? Well, you know, just do your thing. It's not in the Bible that way, but I kind of picture her saying, do your thing, Jesus. Come on, do your thing. You know, take that water and whip it up and make some wine. And he said, woman, my time has not come. Let me tell you something. Mary knew something that Jesus didn't yet hear. Mary knew something. Mary felt something. Can I tell you, I feel something in here? Can I tell you, I hear something in here? I tell you something. It's God's time. It's your time. It's my time. God wants to perform a sign and a wonder in your life and in this place tonight. We just need to begin to believe that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Desperate people. Desperate people are the candidates for miracles. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, Jesus was going into Capernaum, and the people gathered together at the house that he had stopped to preach. And some guys brought in a paralytic and couldn't get in the door. You know the story. Right there, half the church would go back home. Well, I woke up this morning, Pastor. I'd have been there, but I had a hangnail in my big toe. You know, my bunion is just funning with me, and it hurts me, and I couldn't make it to church today. I had a flat tire. Well, I hitchhike. The room was full. There was no entry point. Half the church would have quit right there. But not when you're desperate. You don't quit when you're desperate. You got to find a way where there's no way. You got to be unconventional in your thinking. If I can't get in the door and the window sills are already filled with people and I can't get in the window, then I either have to dig underground or I got to come in from the roof. And I think the roof might be just a little bit easier. Let's go, boys. Hoist me up. Desperate people will make desperate moves. When you're desperate, you'll pray like you've never prayed. When you're desperate, you'll give like you've never given before. When you're desperate, you'll sing and worship like you've never worshiped before. When you're desperate, you'll cry out to God. It won't even be your personality. You'll think, my God, who is that in there? It's your desperation crying out. And God always hears the cry of the desperate. He got his miracle, by the way. He picked up his mat and walked on home. Carried that which used to carry him. Come on now. There's a switch taking place in the kingdom of God. But look at this. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 to 30. Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he'd come to the house, his disciples asking him privately, why could we not cast it out? He said, because this kind only comes through prayer and fasting. There are some people that just don't let go of their resolve. In 34 years of ministry, I've seen some people get sick and go in the hospital and die before the doctor can even see them a second time. I've seen other people go into the hospital and fight and fight. And the doctor say, we don't understand what's keeping him alive. He ought to be dead by now. There's something inside that goes even beyond desperation. It's called a holy resolve that said, I will not quit and I will not be defeated. And this thing will not take me out. God said, I shall live and not die. Therefore, I believe in miracles, and I don't know what it looks like, but I believe God is able. Heard another great testimony just this past weekend of a man who had a devastating stroke. The doctor said there's no way he'll make it through the night. My good friend and pastor Greg Ball was telling me as he went off to the hospital. He went into that room to pray, and there were those of various faith. There were Hindus, family members there. There were Muslims in that place. There were those that didn't believe in anything. And he walked in. He said, my God, I don't know how to handle this. What should I do? Do I disrespect people? I mean, do I pray? And God said, you just do your Jesus thing, and you just do what I've called you to do. And he said, I walked in, and I felt like the death angel met me at the door. I literally felt as though I was struggling face to face with the death angel. And I grabbed hold of that bed and I said, you'll not take him. Let him go. And they began to pray, and they began to pray and cry out on Facebook and prayer lines and others that would just agree in faith, believing God, even though the doctor said it won't happen. The doctor suddenly came in, he coded, and they went and took him into surgery. His brain was swelling uncontrollably. They had to take part of his cranium off in order to give it room. They said, we don't know how long it'll be. It could be 3 or 4 months before we could ever put it back. It'll be a miracle if this man ever lives. Come on, do you hear what I just said? It'll be a miracle if this man ever lives. Well, that's all right. That's what he does. God is a miracle working God. So let's believe God for the miracle. Let's believe God for the miracle. And he got this holy resolve. And the family began to pray. The Hindu family didn't like it. The Muslim family were offended and walked out. The other people that didn't believe in God, they were just putting up with it with sneers and jeers. But it didn't faze the preacher boy. He had learned well. He got on his knees and he began to cry out and pray and believe God. And after the surgery, the doctor came in and said, we don't know what happened. We don't know how this man's still alive, but he's still alive. I got a feeling that he just might make it. Greg called me yesterday and said, I just got the report. The doctor said, he's going to walk again. He's going to come out of that hospital. How many know that God is a miracle working God? I could preach all night. John chapter 5, you guys were just there at the pool of Bethsaida. We were talking about it last night on the phone. You know that pool that once a year it would get stirred up by the Holy Spirit. The angel of the Lord would come down and stir it up. And whoever was near and got in first, they were healed. Now think about it, 38 times he saw it but never got it. 38 years lame by the pool of Bethsaida. Waiting to get in, waiting to get his touch, waiting to get his healing. And Jesus comes to him one day in John chapter 5 and said, would you like to be made well? He said, sir, I would like to do it, but I have no man. Come on, say that with me. I have no man.
I have no man.
Exactly, you have no man. And that's been our problem. We're looking for one. Let me tell you, nobody on this side of heaven can heal you. Nobody on this side of heaven can save you. Nobody on this side of heaven can give you joy. Nobody on this side of heaven can give you peace. But that day, come on, say that day. I know I'm preaching and it's Wednesday night. I'm not supposed to be doing this, but I just feel like it. He met a man, but he met a man that wasn't from this world. He met another man, a man from another kingdom. His name was Jesus. He didn't need a man. He had the man. Hallelujah. Stop looking around for a man and just lift up your hands and say, I've got the man. Ha! Hallelujah. And he healed him at that very moment. Why? Because he had come to the end of himself. Listen, this is a great statement. I don't know why God gave it to me. This is actually original. Sometimes they're not. Miracles happen. Not just on 34th Street, but on your street. You got to put your street in there, honey. It's not the miracle on 34th Street. It's the miracle on Rosewood Drive. It's the miracle on Main Street. God wants to work a miracle in your life. You see, miracles come on the foundation of authentic faith. And faith that takes no risk is no faith at all. It's not easy having faith. Because you're going to get yourself out there and people are going to wonder, what you doing? Why are you praying like that in here? We don't do that here. Sorry, I'm desperate. We don't act like that here. Well, sorry, I'm resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight, things that are higher, things that are nobler. These have allured my sight. I will praise him. Sorry. Should have never learned that old hymn. I need to get what God has, so I must give him what I have left. What you got left? I got a few broken pieces of my heart left, God. I've got a few broken dreams. You want it? God said, I'll take it. I like the prophet came to the woman. What you got in your house, she said. You know, most of us would have stopped right there. It's like none of your business. What are you talking about? What about I got in my house? That's my house. Get out of my house. She said, I don't got much. I just have a little jar of oil. He said, good, bring it here. Can you imagine one little jar of oil changed her whole future. Well, it wasn't the oil that changed her future. It was her willingness to release what she had. You know the proverbial story, right? Everybody's talked about it. 5 loaves and 2 fish. I don't know if he's the only one that had lunch there that day among 5,000. But nobody else volunteered. They might have eaten their last bread the day before. It had been days now that Jesus was teaching. You know how those long-winded preachers are. They stood with him right there on the Sermon on the Mount, overlooking Galilee from the western side, just across the way from the Gadarenes where demons were waiting to be exorcised on another day. But today was the day where a little lad came with a couple loaves and a couple fish. He said, give it to Jesus, because I believe he can do more with what I have than I can. And he was willing to release it. And you know the rest of the story. The disciples were disillusioned and tired, you know. They had fished all night. Jesus made an appearance. Hey, you guys got any fish? As to rub it in. As to prove a point. Y'all got any fish? Nah, we've been toiling all night. There ain't no fish in this lake. Because if there was fish in this lake, we'd have them. We're professionals. What do you think? Who are you anyway? He was the resurrected Christ. They had lost sight of him. Church, we've lost sight of who's talking to us. It's not some old preacher with gray hair talking to you tonight. There's some amount of the Holy Ghost that's speaking through me. God's making an appearance. Here's what he said. He said, throw your net on the other side. Half the church would have left right there, offended. What does he think? We're ignorant? What does he think? We're stupid? Throw the net on the other side. We've done this all night long. There's nothing there. Jesus didn't say there was anything there. He just said, throw it on the other side. He didn't say, I see fish. I see fish over there. Throw your net there. He didn't say that. He said, just throw your net on the other side. It was their giving of what they had left. Energy enough. The nets were already put away. They were ready to go home. And out they came again one more time. One more time to the altar. One more time to lift my hands and ask him to touch me. One more time to say, God, can you change my marriage? One more time to say, God, can you heal this tumor? One more time, God, can you make me walk in my lame leg? God, can you do it? One more time. And the net went over on the other side. And while they were casting their net, Jesus said, I command every fish in the sea, get on the other side of the boat. Now! And as the net hit the water and began to sink, fish said, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I love that net. I'm just going to swim right into it. I just want to be in that net. They didn't know that God's hand was on them. He was creating the course for their history to fulfill the need. Did you know God will take the stars, the moon, he'll even cause them to stand still if you need a little more time at Gibeon to win your battle. God can hold the whole universe in abeyance if you need it. Good golly, Miss Molly. What kind of God do we serve? Huh? What kind of God do we serve? I mean, no, he's a miracle working Jesus. Oh my gosh. My brother put my little music on behind me. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Matthew 21 in verse 22 says this. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in my name. Whatever. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer. I didn't write the Bible. And sometime when I read it, I think I need to rewrite it. Because God, you know I've asked. And nothing's happened. I'm tired. I've been out all night. I'm weary. I don't know that I could cast it over one more time. Mark 9, 23 says this, everything is possible for him who believes. Sometimes I feel like Thomas. Lord, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. Everything is possible to him who believes. Mark 11, 23 and 24. What great scriptures. But verse 24, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it will be yours. What do you want tonight from God?
I feel your spirit.
What do you want? I hear the Master saying, what do you want?
Come and fill.
God, I want many souls saved. I want men like Mr. Figliano, who found Jesus 5 hours. Just 5 hours before he went into eternity. That's what I want. What do you want? I want my marriage restored, God. And whatever you ask him, he'll do it. I want you to think with me right now. Just close your eyes. Turn it up just a little bit. Put the words up on the screen. And begin to give thanks in advance to what we know God's going to do. Can you just entertain him for a couple of minutes? Come on. Thank you, Lord. Turn it up, my brother.
So sweet.
Turn it up some more. Come on, anointing. Come on, anointing. Come on, anointing. Fill this place now. Fill this place. Fill this place, anointing.
See a ladder reaching to the heavens.
What do you want?
I hear you calling out.
What do you want?
To me.
What do you want?
Saying, come up here. Won't you come up here? Come up here. 'Cause here is a place of intimacy.
Heaviness of his anointing rest.
Would you come up here? Yes, Lord, coming to that high place, that holy place, sweep over me right now, sweep over.
Time that Judah, Israel broke camp in Numbers. Keep it going. God told Israel, Judah goes first. On the east side of that camp, with the glory cloud and the fire pillar, when it lifted,
I can feel,
send Judah. Out came
touches
Judah.
Me.
Means praise, you know. Means worship.
Sets me free.
That's what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Behind Judah
so
came
I can feel
an obscure tribe.
Anointing.
If you look at the order, a little uncommon because it was Issachar.
Sets me free, your anointing.
Issachar comes behind Judah. Yeah. God said to do it that way.
Yeah.
Issachar were the sons that knew what to do in the times of trouble.
Yeah.
It speaks a prophetic word.
Yeah.
Worship will always introduce prophecy. That's why it's important that we have a worship team like we have. We don't sing until you get here. We worship to release prophecy. Behind Issachar was a despised and small tribe, Zebulun. They were in the north. They're around the Gadarenes. That's where they were. They sat in great darkness. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, if you'll worship me, I'll give you a prophetic word that'll break the power of darkness off of your life. And you will walk in liberty and freedom. And that's what God wants to do in here today.
Falling off your feet right now.
Not my prayers, my obedience. Not my faith, your faith. You desire prayer tonight for any little thing. Just as we're worshiping, you can rise to your feet, come across the front. Pastor Tossie and Reed are going to join us. We'll lay hands on you and pray and believe God for your miracle. Turn it up some more, my brother.
Just receive the anointing. So
in the name of Jesus, the anointing
is touching you right now, right now, right now.
But there would never be another day like
lift your
yesterday. But this new day, Christ, will be powerful.
Lift your hands. That's what I saw in the Spirit. Every lingering shadow, the breaking of it, and the dispersement of it now with great light. You are free.
Come on. Every lingering shadow. Gone, Jesus. Gone, Jesus.
Thank you.
touches me, your anointing sets me free.
Watch us now,
your anointing.
Watch us now, freedom.
Yeah.
Healing.
It's like
your healing, Jesus.
Feel it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Release it. Release it now.